There is, we're gonna have to boot the AI out. All right, well, the recording is starting, and we are good to go whenever you are, Madam Chair.
Right. It is now 10 o'clock on the dot, and I call this regular meeting of the Architects Board to order. The board will provide an opportunity for public comment during the meeting. As a courtesy, we ask the participants to mute their mics or phone when not speaking to reduce the background noise. Please remember to unmute your mic or phone when you are speaking. Also, for board members, to help us capture information correctly, please state your name when making comments. Thank you. Alyssa, at this time, would you please call roll and board members? Please respond if in attendance.
I will start with you, Chair Lloyd.
Here.
Vice Chair Russell.
Present.
Secretary Brockbogle. Board
Do you
member
mean Paul
Carl.
Wood? I'm here. I'm here.
Okay.
Okay, sorry.
And then Board Member Harm.
I'm here.
Board Member Wu.
I'm here.
And Board Member Roberts.
Here.
Okay, back to you, Chair.
Great. For the approval of the agenda, I need a motion for and vote for approval. So first, a motion to approve the agenda.
This is Board Member go ahead.
We've had a request from staff to remove item 7.6 from the agenda. It's one of our cases. That'll be moved to the next agenda. So if we could approve it, amending to remove item 7.6.
Okay. Could I have a motion to approve the revised agenda to remove that section?
This is Board Member Harm. So moved.
Second.
Board Member Wu, second.
Any further discussion about the agenda?
Just real question, Sydney. I'm just getting through the, it was way down in the packet today. What is item 7.1? I'm looking for it.
Item 7.6 is one of our cases.
7.6. Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you. Sorry for that delay.
Yep. Any other discussion? Move to then we do a vote. All in favor of the approved agenda with the one revision, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Then the agenda is set. Approval of the meeting minutes for the regular meeting minutes from April 24th, 2025. We need a motion to approve the meeting notes.
This is Board Member Brockfogle. I make a motion we approve the meeting minutes.
Board Member Russell,
again. Any discussion on any points of the meeting notes? Great. Then a vote to confirm the meeting minutes. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. Moving on to old business. Do I say it or does Alyssa say it?
No, I think you're good.
Okay. So the National Council of Architectural Registration Board annual business meeting occurred in June. And so the board members who attended will give a short report out. I can begin with just some of the overall takeaways. We were in Scottsdale for annual business meeting. There was a lot of sessions about the upcoming advancements of education and examinations and experience that's going to be at the forefront of evolution of NCARB's path to licensure. I was appreciative to see how much of this is aligning with what the state of Washington has as part of their plan to encourage more alternative paths into architecture. So Washington is at the forefront of this and has shown as an example that these will build the pipeline for architects to come into our community. So it was a really good follow through and a lot of work that had gone into the competency report that Sean Robert or Chair Roberts had participated in over the past years. I'll let her share a little bit more detail of that if she chooses. The elections and things that occurred on the final day, many of the or all of the motions that happened were passed fairly cleanly, and they had addressed issues in the mutual agreements with other countries. Just some clarifications, and one other country that we have agreed, or the board meeting or the attendees voted yes to join with South Africa. I will say, unfortunately, Chair Harm, who really put a big application to join the board as I will forget which exact title it was because there's lots of seconds and
thirds. Secretary Treasurer,
unfortunately, did not win the position, but was very supportive and had a really great advocacy for what could be the future of NCARB. So appreciated all the work that Board Member Harm had done to get to that point. Other attendees want to give some more details on any parts you saw?
Chair, very good report. The only thing I would add is someone had asked what was the limitation or the intent on continuing with mutual recognition agreements, with the MRA being the acronym that everybody uses. And I think NCARB National handled it very well, that their first target was other jurisdictions and countries, as a specific example, whose educational and experience path more closely aligned with what the United States is currently at or more moving to. So there was a little bit of a concern. Are we just going to open up our marketplace to everybody around the world, regardless of their qualifications? So I think NCARB, as a national leadership organization, is well aware of the concern that people, I'm reading through the lines, really don't want to open it up to quite literally every country around the globe, and that there is some kind of a vetting process. But I suspect it will be something that will come up probably a couple more times every time there's a new MRA proposed.
Other than that,
your report is very good. Yep.
Yeah, I was going to just add to that in that the other part of that answer was that we are focused right now on kind of the licensure process and what modifications might be made to the licensure process over the next 5 to 10 years, and that the MRAs will probably take a backseat to that in the short term. So that was part of that report as well. And yep. I think it was they did lay out kind of a their process for pathways to practice and relooking at the licensure process. But, you know, that is going to take some amount of time. So it's going to be a slow, deliberate process. And they laid out kind of a 5 to 10 year timeline on how that would actually be implemented, which was helpful to know.
Then I would think also our pathways to practice is a little complexity to the whole thing, with other countries verifying that they're on board with those alternative pathways. So, yeah.
Peter, do you want to add anything to your takeaways from that conference?
My takeaway was that. Yeah, that's okay. You can call me Peter. But I found that the focus or the recognition of keeping it kind of slow as the MRAs get established was a compelling point to that. And that was my big concern, was that just this open floodgate of people from other countries without a proper education or a background to be able to do it. And the notion that we're in this transition anyway, with how we're establishing the pathway, that the collision of both this open door, or the potential for too much open door, and our new pathways system might become a problem. The notion of slowing it down and evaluating it was really what I thought was one of the most important points made. It was subtle, but it was there. So there, that's my input to that.
And I would second what the chair said, Erica, about how I was personally kind of pleased with how it's in alignment with how our state currently runs and operates, with almost unlimited pathways to licensure. So it was kind of like, yeah, we're out in front kind of a thing. So it was pretty good.
Yeah, I think it'll, they made a point that some of the states really do need to have support to help work with the legislatures to advocate for this path that they are working to develop over the next probably 5 years. And they have plans of how to help those states. And I think we are one that will be a support to them and show some of the pros and cons and do not anticipate significant changes to the legislation that we have in place.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't see that we would have much change to that either. Chair, I thought that's a pretty good point.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody should be thinking forward about what it might mean in the 5 to 10 year timeline. And I think it will become clearer as time goes on. I don't think that conceptually there will be much of a change for us, but there will likely be some legislative changes that need to be made to align with a new program. So at any rate, I think we just need to kind of keep watching it and thinking forward to when it would make sense and what those changes need to be.
And I did meet with people, so I have become a member of one of the committees that will be working through this over the next 3 years for the avenue of experience. So reviewing the competency program with how experience is measured for candidate architects. And so we did have a kickoff. I met the team while we were there, and we have kicked off that committee so that we can start to develop conversations about experience based on competency.
Yep.
Good. Good. Next item.
Good report.
Item 5.2, a proposal for interior design regulation update. Sydney, would you like to share your input?
Absolutely. So, this is just to introduce the item and then I will hand it over to our presenters. But just as a reminder to the board and members of the public, about a year ago, the board did hear a proposal from a group working toward the regulation of interior designers within the state of Washington. Part of that proposal at that time did include some tie-ins with this board, and so they had brought it to the board preemptively. That group decided not to pursue the legislation in the 2025 session, and they have been working with AIA Washington Council on kind of revamping and bolstering the proposal to head into the 2026 legislative session, and they have requested an opportunity to come back and present their updated proposal to the board for awareness and just to start getting information out there about this proposal coming before it appears in the legislative session beginning of the year. So with that, I will introduce Michael Transu, Megan Onley, Stacy Krumbacher, and Tammy Sorrero. Tammy, of course, being our executive director for AIA Washington Council. I will turn it over to them to present.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Again, I'll introduce myself. I'm Megan Onley. I am an interior designer at Integris Architecture in Spokane, Washington, and I'm NCIDQ certified. I'm also the IIDA Northern Pacific Chapter president this year, and I'll let Stacy introduce herself as we then give our update after.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you all for welcoming us today. I'm Stacy Krumbacher. I've been partnering with Megan on this effort on behalf of the interior designers in Washington. I am a practicing interior designer with Malam Architects, and also an educational planner. I also sit on the ICOR practice scope overlap steering committee for those that have kind of heard of that effort happening in the background over the last couple of years, as well as I am the president of the International Interior Design Association on a national level and have sat in Megan's shoes in the past locally here in Washington as well. So flip back over to Megan.
Yes. And Tammy is on the call. And if you want to chime in, you're welcome to, but I think she has an agenda item later that she's going to speak to as well. So we're here on behalf of the Consortium for Interior Designers of Washington. This is comprised of IIDA Northern Pacific Chapter and ASID Washington as a united front. We plan to pursue legislation here in 2026, as was stated in Washington State, for registered commercial interior designers. Our bill would regulate the title of registered commercial interior designers and define the scope of practice that would include stamp and seal privileges within code-regulated spaces. And with this language, this would lay the groundwork for us from the last 2 years for our profession to be clearly defined and appropriately regulated, and it would align with life safety and code impact responsibilities. Our past engagement, as was stated, was last October in your board meeting, so we introduced our intent to regulate the commercial interior design profession in Washington State. We've made meaningful progress since then, and we just wanted to keep you guys up to date on that. We've been collaborating with AIA Washington Council since January 2025, where we have comprised a task force that has AIA Washington Council representation across their state chapter, and our Washington State Organizations for Interior Designers are also represented on this. In our task force, we have had 5 workshops and 3 leadership meetings, and together we have covered past legislative efforts in Washington State. We've gone over national precedent and model language that is currently happening in the country. We've covered our education, examination, and experience standards for NCIDQ certified interior designers. And we've welcomed the insights of the Oklahoma Joint Licensing Board that regulates architects, landscape architects, and licensed interior designers under one board in their state. Stacey, I'll pass it to you.
So as we've been digging into these conversations, we issued a joint statement to our communities, really affirming our collaboration and shared goals to come to an aligned agreement on what appropriate scope of practice would be for commercial interior designers. And that was the statement that we had issued to you all prior to this meeting. Since that conversation, our Consortium for Interior Design has shared a preliminary draft of our proposed bill language with AIA Washington. We've really focused our conversations with them on the scope of practice that we can collectively support, and our shared priority is to define a scope that clearly and constructively. We really want to ensure clarity for both professions and our regulators around what an acceptable scope overlap would be, and to identify very clear practice boundaries that are easy to follow and easy to understand by the broader public community as well. We're still working collaboratively to align on what that scope is as we kind of look towards the next iteration of our bill language that we would share with this group. Another area of focus has been around the regulatory board structure. So the consortium is currently recommending a joint board, learning from our conversations with Oklahoma and what we've been seeing working effectively in other states, where we would regulate registered commercial interior designers alongside architects. We feel this approach really supports responsible oversight, efficient operations at a state level, and really allows for clarity in overlapping areas of practice without creating a separate board that may get into a muddy area of who's regulating who when there's a boundary has been crossed from an interior designer's perspective. We've been chatting through with AIA kind of how starting to look at how that may structurally adjust the composition of the board by increasing representation of interior designers. And what we're looking towards in the next draft of the language is really paralleling some of the requirements for commercial interior design practitioners with that of the architects, at least for kind of what their requirements cost, like hours of continuing education, so that it's very parallel to what the architects are held to as well. Our next steps, we're working towards a revised draft of bill language by the end of August as we work in collaboration with AIA. And then in September, our intent is to host town halls with both the architectural and interior design communities to really share that proposed legislation more broadly and gather feedback outside of our smaller task force group that has been knee-deep in exploring this topic. We plan to re-engage the legislators we had been chatting with last year in September as we intend to build momentum towards a proposal in the 2026 session. We deeply value a growing relationship with you all, kind of as the board and between us as commercial interior designers. We really see your input as essential to shaping a thoughtful and collaborative path forward for both professions. Our collaborators, Tammy and Kyle, with AI Washington have also joined, and we welcome any shares from their perspective. And then any questions, feedback, or ongoing participation with you all, we welcome that as we continue along our journey. I'll pass it over to Tammy in case she wants to offer anything or if there's any questions that you'd like to ask.
Sure. Good morning, everyone. I think that you guys hit it really quite well as to the work that we have been doing with you and not only members of your consortium, but members of AIA throughout the state. We have appreciated the opportunity to work in a much slower pace, meaning starting in January and working toward 2026. I think we're getting there. I think that the first draft that we reviewed this past week is a good start. We currently have some questions, which we have shared with Megan and Stacy, and which will be shared with the Fuller Task Force probably sometime here in August. And as you can imagine, it's most of our concerns rest on health, safety, and welfare-related issues. As Stacy talked about, the idea of making sure that everybody understands the boundaries of each of the different professions, particularly when it comes to this regulatory board, as well as people in the field, people who are accepting drawings, you know, over the counter or in these cases, probably online. And for the public, I think that that is going to be an interesting opportunity for us to make sure that the public understands when an architect is needed. So I look forward to the continuing conversation. I appreciate the openness with which Stacy and Megan and her team have allowed Washington Council members to participate and have allowed us to be candid and have some tough conversations, which I know are only going to continue as we work together. So it's been good to be able to bring this update to you today.
Board Member Harm?
I don't know if this is for Tammy or for Stacy, and this is going to be a little nitpicky. So this slide that we're seeing references per packet page number 14. I've got package page 14 opened up on one of my other screens, and just the nuances of is NCIDQ now changed to CIDQ or is disbanded? Because there's references to NCIDQ, but me, I've gotten so used to saying CIDQ now. Is NCIDQ still out there or is that something that needs to be vetted out in the process?
Great question, Scott. I can handle this one. CIDQ is the name of the organization. So it's the Council for Interior Design Qualifications, and right. NCIDQ is the language of the test itself. So we typically refer to CIDQ when we're talking about the organization and NCIDQ when we're referring to the test itself. So it's kind of like the NCAR versus the AREs.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
It's just a little closer, which makes it a little trickier.
Board Member Roberts?
Yeah, thanks. Thank you both for coming here and presenting. Really anxious to see what is coming out of all this effort and appreciate all the collaborations. Stacy, I'm excited that you have been part of this ICOR effort and have been a little bit I ask at every NCAR, what's going on with that? Because we've had our own incidental practice issues between engineers and architects that we've been trying to resolve over the last, I don't know how many years. Was really anxious to see what might come out of that effort in terms of good language to be able to do kind of what Tammy was getting at, understanding really clearly where are the boundaries, where are the overlaps, and how can we be clear about that in our language? Of course, we're going to be entering a whole new world of that with interior designers and architects, and I appreciate that you're spending a lot of time thinking about being as clear as possible. But since I've got you here, I guess my question is, what do you have anything that you can share from that effort? My understanding is we were going to see something this summer that would include interior design, or no, sorry, landscape architect, engineering and architecture, but maybe not interior design. So I'm just curious how that effort might align with what you're thinking about doing locally here.
Great question on that front. And let me preface, I can share what I'm able to share, kind of the public facing part of that community. The intent has been to put out a draft of that language in August. And I believe the, I'm checking my calendar right now. Kind of, there may be a moving target where that extends out to September. We are in the process of reviewing the last draft iteration, and that does include interior design. So it includes all of the sections right now. We had a few late breaking curiosities from some of our subcommittees that we're working through navigating if we need to change any of that language at the moment. But our intent is still to issue something kind of early in this fall season, because we know everyone is excited to at least get their hands on a first version of that. We do see that document. It will be a document that long term will be updated over time as we uncover, you know, what didn't work in the clarity of the language and how do we then update that. So they anticipate it as a resource that will have updates over time, and that they are currently exploring exactly what that a type of comment submittal process will be, where the working committee can actually take in feedback from the broader community and start to address that through future iterations. So it's probably the what I can offer right now on that piece, but it has been a very healthy conversation over the last, those of us that have been deep on the task force have been in it for about 4 or 5 years now. So it has been a long ongoing effort to look at scope overlap. And for anyone that's less familiar to what ICOR is, it is a collaboration between NCARB, CIDQ, the Interiors Group, CLARB, and NCEES, our engineers, to really understand acceptable overlap and distinct boundaries in practice across all of the professions. It has a larger steering committee in which I'm a member of that piece, and then each profession has a subcommittee of subject matter experts that have met quarterly or annually, depending on which group it is, as we navigate through this question of what scope overlap looks like. So because I've participated in those calls, we have a little bit of a edge, at least in how we're drafting the language. Our intent is to align the language with what we're seeing in the ICOR report. And then once it's public knowledge, we'll be able to continue to navigate, you know, what feels right for Washington when we think about how that applies to us locally as well. So I don't know if that helps or if there's another question around it.
No, that's great. Thanks.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Board Member Russell? You're muted.
Yeah, okay. Thanks. So you mentioned Oklahoma is a model that exists. Is there, would we be the second state that has a combined board?
No, it wouldn't be the second state. There's multiple combined boards. I don't have the number off the top of my head right now, but I can bring that back when we share kind of a proposed version of what the language is, kind of the states that currently have joint regulatory groups versus those that don't, unless, Megan, you have that number off the top of your head.
I do not have that number, but I know Alaska is doing a joint board as well, and they're in the process of going through legislation in the state of Alaska. So it's on the governor's desk right now, and they would be another adjacent state to ours that would have a joint board.
Thanks. Any other questions or discussion? Excellent. The update is very exciting to see the progress you're making. And I agree. I look forward to seeing the, final drafts you put out at the end of August, knowing that August is tomorrow. Ah, scary.
Don't Don't give me a panic.
Excellent. Well, thank you for joining our meeting today and sharing your update. We look forward to hearing more. Next item, going on to new business, the American Institute of Architects Washington Council legislative update. Cindy, will you introduce this measure?
Yes, ma'am. I'm happy to. So this is going to be kind of aligning with some of the goals that the board has previously set. And one of the priorities has for this board has been working with AIA on any legislative updates or legislative monitoring that needs to go on. And so I'm going to reintroduce Tammy Sorrow, the executive director for AIA Washington Council, who's going to provide you all with an update on some revisions that AIA is looking to introduce themselves in 2026.
Yeah, thank you, Sydney. Again, my name is Tammy Sorrow, Executive Director of Washington Council. Thank you for having me here. I'm here today to update you on the proposed changes that AIA Washington Council would like to make to Washington State's RCW 18.08, our Architects Practice Act. As I've discussed with a few of you over the past year or so, we believe the act needs updating to better reflect our profession and align with NCARB's latest model law. I understand this board's considering procedural updates to the act, and currently AIA's efforts are focused on updating the definition of the practice. The current definition is vague and creates complications in two significant legal areas. First, as board member Roberts touched on earlier, we have an ongoing issue with the definition and incidental practice. This problem was brought to your attention in 2022. I believe we had brought that forward at that time and were seeking an attorney general's interpretation. Unfortunately, the attorney general informed us that, quote, Washington law provides no bright line rule for distinguishing between design documents that must be completed by an architect and those that must be completed by an engineer, essentially pushing it back down to the jurisdictions to make those decisions. And we need better clarity on the scope of work that uniquely falls within an architect's purview. Secondly, we are seeing frequent violations to the qualifications-based selection process that is a law here in Washington State. Under QBS, publicly funded agencies must select an architect based on qualifications with fees negotiated during or only after that selection has been made. Yet several times a year, I receive RFPs and RFQs, sometimes from people on this board, that improperly require fees and costs as part of the selection process. While most agencies collectively or correct their RFP with an addenda, when I point this out, some question whether their projects even require an architect or they just flat out ignore the law. A more detailed practice definition would help us and help agencies understand when QBS laws apply. To address these issues, we propose a combination of NCARB's model law and a recently updated practice act in California as the foundation for revising this definition. And I know from our previous conversations that you're considering procedural changes to RCW 1808. I'd like to continue that discussion with you to understand your priorities and ensure that we can incorporate them into comprehensive legislation. Without your input, it won't be possible for me to have a thorough law update. So lastly, as we all have been lamenting, today is the last day of July. And with August being tomorrow, we have limited time to draft legislation, secure a sponsor, educate lawmakers about these important changes. So I propose, if there are members interested, that we schedule a follow-up meeting with members of this board who are involved in the model law work to discuss specific changes we want to pursue. And my hope is that that's something that you're interested in. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Tammy. Board members, is there any discussion or questions for Tammy about this topic? I appreciate the things that you're identifying. The as a practicing architect, the second one in particular, I'm very glad that you are clarifying. And when working in states that don't have that law is quite cumbersome. So I appreciate that. I would be open to joining a call with you to talk about some some topics. If there's any, if there's one other board member that would like to join to talk about the model law.
Eric, I wonder if we keep our little committee together, and I join you, and it looks like maybe Peter would like to, but that's, sorry, that's Peter, correct. I jumped I in. Like
no, no, that's okay. I would like to join too. Yeah.
Sydney, hey. How many people are we limited to having be able to join Tammy in a conversation?
Three. And okay. If board member Brock Vogel wants to join the model law committee, that was a committee that was established prior to his tenure on the board. So we do have space for one additional member on that committee as well.
Great. So let's set that up.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Should Thanks, I work Tammy, through Sydney for all your efforts. That up?
Yeah, Tammy, I'll reach out to you and get that set up.
All right. Thank you so much, you guys. Look forward to it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for all the research and clarity you're putting into that. That was very clear.
Yeah, thank you very much. Good job.
Okay. Anytime.
Sydney, would you like to review the item for 6.2?
Yes, ma'am. I am just highlighting my follow-up item to reach out to Tammy as soon as we are done here. All right, so this is going to be a item that came out of the last board meeting. It was a request from the board to just have a brief discussion and get some additional guidance on anything addressed in the RCWs under the chapter for architects, so 1808, that addresses performance of architects. And I believe this came out of questions that board members had operating as case managers on a number of cases recently. Where I think previously a lot of the cases that we've had have pertained to things like unlicensed practice or, you know, specific to licensure. And a lot of the complaints we've been seeing recently have been a little bit more directed toward the performance of architects and things that architects have done just in the performance of their duties. And so the board had requested some additional clarification on where that's addressed in the RCWs, as well as the Washington Administrative Code. So taking a look at the RCWs, most of our RCWs do pertain to licensure itself, but we do have a chapter in the RCWs 1808-440 that outlines when the board can take action on a license under the board's authority. And the grounds for that would be things like offering to pay, paying, or accepting either directly or indirectly a substantial gift, bribe, any other consideration that could influence or reward a professional work. Other things would be untruthful or deceptive practices, reports, statements, testimony, having a financial interest in the bidding for or performance of a contract to supply labor or materials for a construction project, signing or permitting a seal on drawings or specifications that were not prepared or reviewed by that architect, or willfully evading or trying to evade the law, and not just 1808, but any governing laws, ordinances, codes, regulations, any and all of the above. It's a little bit further defined in WAC 308-12-330, where it discusses the standards of professional practice for architects. And those include topics like competence, conflicts of interest, full disclosure, compliance with the laws of professional conduct, just kind of drills down on those main five from the RCW on what specifically those look like. So I'm happy to provide any additional detail that the board would like, but I also know that the board has quite a bit to get through today. So I can also share links to these for the board to take a look at just as you guys are reviewing those cases, hearing more of the things that are going on out in the industry, and we can provide any further clarification from there.
Board Member Roberts?
you know, Elizabeth was going to add something. I'd rather have her go first.
I see her pop up. Yeah. Elizabeth, would you like to share?
Yeah. I just wanted to reiterate the importance of this step for you guys, because what you will get from you know, the DOL staff is an investigation report, and, you know, I'm not sure what else you receive, but, you know, I suggest everybody really spend their time reviewing everything in those reports, and also looking at the statutes and the WACs, taking some time to look at those, and making sure that you think that all of the potential violations are there. Because if you rely too much on, I mean, you're the experts, right? So you guys need to, and don't hesitate. If you think there's more information out there that you need, don't hesitate to ask for it. But again, you know, when you get any kind of document, make sure you look through it carefully, and then also look at the RCWs and the WACs. I can't emphasize enough how important that step is, and don't be afraid to go back to the staff, and, or I don't know how you do that, if you do it through Sydney or somebody else, but don't be afraid to go back and say, look, I see more, or I need more evidence or information. So that was my pitch.
Board Member Roberts?
Yeah, and, you know, thanks, Elizabeth. I think this question actually did come from doing exactly that. And I think that one of the things that we are confronted with pretty often is this question of competence. And it's really one word in the WAC, right? It's not, there's not a lot of, description of what that means. And I think that maybe is something that, at least in my mind, we get a lot of cases where it's clear that there's been, an issue on a project, and a client is unhappy, and we're looking for, you know, we're trying to see whether this is an issue or not. And the only thing that could potentially be an issue would be competence. And then, like, what does it mean for a board to determine that an architect is not competent? And is there any, further illumination that could be given to, clarify that particular piece?
Elizabeth, do you have a right answer with that?
Sorry. Yeah. I'm so good about muting myself. So a couple of things there. One is the DOL is relying on your knowledge of what the quote unquote standard of care is in the industry. So something jumps out at you as, oh, this is definitely outside of what we would find to be an adequate standard of care. That is competence. That said, if you really have a question about whether competence is met, your prosecuting attorney could do a little more research, about that particular fact scenario and see if you can find any information, about competence in general. I could also try to give you some definitions of competence in case law. It's tricky, but mainly it's about the standard of care.
Okay, that is actually helpful to understand that the competence would be linked. So if we find that somebody is operating outside of the standard of care.
Yes, exactly. And you are the experts. And so, for example, if this went to hearing, then you would be the one who would testify as to this is the standard of care. And, you know, this is why it's not met. Sometimes if it's a very controversial case, they'll bring in another, you know, so you might have a couple of people that can speak to standard of care, but you would definitely be one of those people. So.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Board Member Brackle.
Yeah, I was just going to pick up on what Sydney was saying. Yeah, I'd love it if you could send me the links. That'd be great.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll share that with the board as soon as we're done.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks. Yes, I agree. The links would be a good spot. If just there's many different locations where things could be found, and just where sometimes somebody may point to one as the main driver, knowing that there's some other locations that we could just do the overall thorough review would be really helpful.
Yeah, I think there's your WACs, I mean, your RCWs, and then there's another set that's generally applied to all of the DOL boards, and then there's also your WACs. So there's basically three locations that you can find things. And then if there's, you know, if you're in doubt, there's nothing wrong with consulting, at least in my mind, there's nothing wrong with consulting your prosecuting attorney, who could probably look into it a bit more, in a bit more depth. But those are the three resources. So, and I think definitely do not forget about your WACs.
Yeah.
Those are important.
Very good. Any further discussion or questions? All right. Moving into section number 7 for complaint cases, we have removed one of the cases in the revised agenda, so we will not do the 7.6, number 2025-010338. That one we'll hold for the next session. For each of these, the case managers will present their own cases, and then at each time we will do a motion to approve or deny the recommendation by the case manager. So the first one, 7.1, would be with Board Member Harm.
Yes, thank you. Case number 2024-03-0483-00ARC. Essentially, this is a pretty cut and dry. It was the respondent was it was called to our attention that the respondent was, I'll use the word stamping loosely, stamping documents with a I'm assuming self-created stamp that completely mirrored the stamp for ourselves as licensed architects, but only changed the words to be a licensed designer, if I remember correctly, what they used. So they were misusing or misapplying an implied stamp that presented them as something that, in my opinion, that they're really not, especially since we don't have registered designers in the state of Washington. The person was contacted, immediately removed the stamp as evidenced by some examples submitted. We did, however, discover in the individual's website that they were referring to themselves as a provider of architectural services. And so there was a follow-up with that, and to make sure that that was also removed. You can see we don't have it up, my case manager's report. I'm sorry. Maybe I should have shared my screen. I put in there a letter of education, and this is Sydney, Chair could use some advice. I did put in a letter of education since submitting this. I have received a draft letter of education to be sent to the respondent. I think it's perfectly fine to send it the way it is, but I don't know. I'm at a loss to remember if I've had this happen before, if we need to approve that actual letter or just go by my recommendation that we should go ahead and forward the letter of education to the respondent to say, shame on you, don't ever do this again, and we're going to be watching you for a while, essentially.
So Grace can correct me if I'm wrong, but typically we send you that draft letter of education. And as long as it's good to go, then you guys are still good to approve the case manager recommendation. We don't send anything until the board determination.
Okay, there you go. Thanks. Yeah. And I've reviewed, and it's very thorough, very good. Yep.
Go ahead. Before we do discussion, do we have a motion to...
Oh. I'm sorry, madam. Can I just jump in for one click? Sydney, I need a clarification for you. In getting ready for this, I think this all transpired. Some of you know that I've kind of, with air quotes, recently retired. My case manager's report, while it has my signature, the date is missing. So I don't know crossing the T's and dotting the I's kind of a thing. If we need to, as a matter of record, fix a date to it, but I couldn't find the date in the last 2 days. So I think what it was in my old work computer, that I didn't manage to remember to download when I retired. So I don't know if that's an administrative thing or just to make it official, we do have to insert a date.
Yes, and Grace can find the date that you sent.
Okay, I was looking for even emails to Grace to find it. It was like,
Okay. Yep, we'll make sure that that gets done.
Okay, thank you very much.
Do we have a motion to approve case number 0483?
Board Member Roberts, I move we approve the case manager's recommendation for case 0483.
I'll second it. This is Brock Vogel. I'll second it.
Thanks.
Any discussion or questions for Member Harm? Okay. To do a vote for approval of this case report, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Very good. Next case number will be to Board Member Russell.
This is case number 20240717090000ARC. This was an LLC that advertised itself as a permitting service, and they received a complaint that they were advertising as an architectural service. The investigation didn't show that they were advertising as an architecture service, but they are consulting with a licensed architect when they are in need of a signature and a stamp. And so further investigation was into whether this was a rubber stamping or whether there was oversight and supervision in the creation of any documents that were needing the stamp. So they contacted the consulting architect and they confirmed that they did oversee all the work when they're under working as a consultant to the permitting LLC, and they're all have their current business licenses. The consulting architect is licensed. So at this time, even though it's not a traditional architectural firm model, the architect is overseeing the work, his work that he's signing. So I do recommend that we close with no further action.
Okay. Do I have a motion to accept the case report by Member Russell?
Brock Vogel, I recommend we approve per Russell's recommendation.
Board Member Roberts, I second.
Any discussion or questions for Board Member Russell? All in favor of approving, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Very good. Moving on to your next one, Board Member Russell.
Sure. It's case number 20250103100ARC. There was a complaint of a person advertising that they practice architecture without a license. And investigating into it, the investigators found woman was advertising herself on her webpage as a licensed architect in Mexico, having lived in the state of Washington, but her main business that she was offering services for was advertising for mentorship in mysticism. She referred to her architectural training as part of her background and skill set of helping her have a broad understanding of things. So she was asked to clarify the descriptions on her webpage, and also to clarify that she was no longer a Washington State resident. So she's taken off any references even to, you know, her skill set as an architecturally trained person. So she did comply with all requests. My recommendation is that we close this with no further action.
Do I have a motion to approve this case report?
I'll make a motion. We approve this case report.
Paul, you need to come off mute so you're ready there, buddy. Keep raising your hand and we'd go by you.
Oh, I should probably raise my hand first. Yeah.
No, as Paul, I think he was referring to Paul.
Oh, Paul just physically raises his hand. Yeah. So take yourself off mute, Paul.
Do I have a second?
Roberts, Board Member Roberts, I second.
Any discussion or questions for Board Member Russell?
So if I wanted to get a mentorship in mysticism, can I reach out to the ship? Sorry. I don't know how architecture ties into this, so I was doing it. It's a head twister, at least.
All in favor of approving the recommendation by Board Member Russell, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Very good. All right, the next item is a case from myself, Board Member Loind. So 2024-12-3661-00ARC. This is regarding the misuse of a stamp on a project. They thought the stamp was used without the knowledge of the architect, and there were confusions of the people that were the person signing the drawings. There were multiple conversations with the firm and the owners. They found that the firm was outside of Washington State. They shared their documents indicating where the stamp was incorrectly used or inadvertently because of the issues with the digital programs that they used. There were clarifications as they were an out-of-state company and didn't know exactly how to use the Washington protocols. The education has been shared with the firm and the owners through the investigation, and they noted the modifications to their procedures to not have inappropriate stamps anymore. And they confirmed they have confirmed appropriate registration of their business with the Secretary of State for the state of Washington, and all misunderstandings have been confirmed. So I recommend closing this with no further action. Cindy.
Madam Chair, I apologize. I did not include on your annotated agenda for you to hand off the running of the meeting for your cases.
I almost jumped in.
Sorry. Oh, you're fine. You can't technically vote on it. So I think we're fine if we hand it off to Vice Chair Russell right now, just to call for the motion vote or motion and second discussion and vote.
Okay.
Can I entertain a motion for this, accepting the recommendation?
Paul.
Board Member Roberts, I move we accept the case manager's recommendation.
Is there a second?
Board Member Harm, I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded to accept our case manager's recommendation for this. Is there any discussion?
I was a little confused by this one, so I just want to confirm. I think what the case manager is saying is that there was inappropriate use of stamps. However, the individuals performing the services were licensed appropriately. And so is that the case? Is that what's happening here?
Yes, if I can visualize it again. They don't have the actual document. It was like where they placed the stamp or how the actual affixing of the stamp, because it didn't follow the Washington State protocols of what, where and how the stamp would be used.
Okay. Okay, but everybody who was doing the work was appropriately licensed.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Except for they did have to go ahead and register with as a business, correct? Is it correct?
I believe they were already confirmed.
Okay.
To be a registered business.
Okay.
They just They just are located out of state.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other discussion? Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes. So we'll go on next to the next case for Erica. Chair.
The case number is 2025-01-0031-00ARC. This was a complaint made against a firm that was operating without a license. The investigators worked to communicate with the respondent, but they were not able to find or locate the company through the addresses that were provided, the Department of Revenue or the Department of Licensing. There was no record of the business and no communication was provided. They did have a reference stating architectural services on their website, but because we can't find the people, there was no way to show if they were actively practicing. So I opted for a letter of education to the system, and if they are found or provide any more business, then they shall be required to duly license their company for the services that they are providing. But there was not the ability to directly talk with the people because we cannot locate them. So we have put forth a letter of education that will be submitted following approval by the board.
So am I to understand that there's no contact with the offending entity?
Correct. The investigators could not find them through the addresses or the information on their websites or anything. They were non-responsive.
So how do we contact or make known to these phantom operations?
Should we put a motion on the floor before we discuss? Or
you don't have to. And sometimes when you have a tricky case like this, this can help inform what the motion is going to be. But right. I think Grace can help provide some clarification for you guys.
Yeah.
Grace. Could you please
the address that we are sending the letter of education to was it's just the address that was provided to us by the complainant. Also, when we drafted the letter of education, it was re-verified about the website, and that's actually been completely taken down. It's not an active website anymore either. So we were just going to send the letter of education to the address that was provided to us, but whether they get that or not, there was no contact made back from the respondent.
Did we have a chance, board member Wu here, did we have a chance to contact the complainant? Can you hear me?
To contact the complainant,
that this is happening, that we...
Well, we do contact them. If you guys choose to close it, we will contact them with the closure letter as well, letting them know the outcome of the case. But are you meaning to, like, see if they have additional contact information for them?
Right.
Yes, so that was done. Yeah.
Okay.
And they provided all the contact information that they had, and the investigator tried contacting through those avenues and was not... no efforts were returned from the respondent.
What is the evidence that they were providing architectural services? Did they try to submit plans somewhere, or is it just, was there just somebody saw that they were? Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it was references on their website in particular. It was not that somebody had submitted drawings or was noted as being the architect of record for a project. So it was a website that that the complainant had come across that referenced architecture.
I see.
Oh, wait, that's... Yeah. Okay.
Okay. and know that now they no longer, well, we don't know if they even exist anymore. Is that right? Or
yeah, correct.
Okay. Okay.
Can I entertain any motions on this?
Yeah, I'm board member Wu. I move to approve the recommendation to close the case as presented.
Board member Roberts, I second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept case manager's recommendation. I believe there was also a letter of education. And can I, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Passes.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Fair.
So 7.6 shall be removed from the agenda today, and we will discuss that at the next board meeting. So for legal deliberation, are these two? I read the precursor part, right, Cindy?
No, ma'am. You don't need to. That's just there in case we need to have an executive session on these.
Okay, so I will pass this over to Aaron Smith to discuss these two deliberations on the table.
Good morning. I'm AAG Aaron Smith, the prosecutor. I'll discuss number 24-06/1591-00ARC. This is in the matter of Kyron Brimmer. License number 23033730. The short version of this, in around February of 2024, Brimmer submitted plans to the city of Bellevue for a deck repair project for some apartments in Bellevue, the Regent at Bellevue Way Apartments. The plans included notes and drawings that were copied from another architect who'd worked on the project without consent or knowledge of that architect. He was thus issued a statement of charges with violations of RCW 18083703A for signing and sealing a document prepared by another architect without agreement between those parties, violation of RCW 18084404 for signing or permitting a seal to be affixed to any drawings or specifications that were not prepared or reviewed by the architect, and RCW 18235-130-11, misrepresentation, any aspect of the conduct of his business. The SOC was duly sent out with the above charges and warned that failure to respond would lead to a default. No reply or response was received. Thus, he is in default under RCW 34054401, and the sanction that has been proposed is a $1,000 monetary penalty. Shall I continue to the next one, or should I...
Do we do, Cindy, do we do each one at a time?
Correct, one at a time.
Okay. Before discussion, should I move or make a motion?
It's up to you. You don't have to. I see that Board Member Roberts already has questions. Yeah. So you guys can absolutely have discussion ahead of time and then discuss the actual motion once it's made.
Okay, Board Member Roberts.
Yeah, sorry. I my question is actually not about the case. It's procedural. So I do, and maybe things have evolved here in terms of procedures within DOL. My recollection of the last time we did this was like even the case manager could not be in on the discussion. And maybe it was because it'd gotten to a different point, but I seem to remember it was a similar kind of situation. And we had to. It was a smaller closed session that discussed this. So that is not how this needs to happen now. I'm just confirming procedural what we should be doing. Also, here it says that it looks like we're supposed to not have visitors in this. And I don't think we've made that change either.
No. So the executive session is only just in case you guys need to go in to executive session to receive advice from like Elizabeth as your legal counsel. So if there were legal questions about the case specifically that you guys needed to discuss, Elizabeth, we would pull you guys into an executive session with Elizabeth, and she could answer those legal questions for you so that she's not doing that and providing that legal advice in a public space and violating any attorney-client things. So that's not a requirement to go into that executive session. The decision on these cases does have to be made in public. That can't be done in the executive session. So similarly to like when we approved the cases just immediately prior to this, where we're approving the case manager recommendation, these are just ones that instead of the no action or letter of education, these kicked out into the prosecutorial side and have now gone through that part. But just like the case manager for those cases couldn't participate in the vote exactly, they're providing that information to you guys. They can answer questions pertaining to the case from the case manager standpoint, and anything that Mr. Smith cannot provide for you guys, they can provide that input. You guys can also ask questions of Grace as the investigator supervisor. And then if you feel like you need some legal advice, then we can certainly do the executive session. That's just on there as a precautionary. It's not a requirement, but the action is done here in public.
Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, that was helpful. So should I request first to do the board members need to go into an executive session?
I mean, I'll raise my hand.
Sorry, go ahead, Elizabeth.
I was going to say, typically when you deliberate any of these cases, you do it in executive session. It's true that you, for, you know, deliberation purposes under the APA. But you, again, you don't have to. It's just, that's kind of typically how it's done because you often discuss, you know, legal issues. So, yep, just wanted to say that.
I'm going to go ahead and make a motion that we, what are we making a motion that we?
Is there somebody who would like to make a motion to also, this is, so also is the case manager who originally did this one supposed to be exempt from everything?
Correct. They're supposed to abstain from the vote.
Right. So,
that's all they abstain from though. They can discuss, they can present, they can answer questions, but they can't vote.
So can I pass this to Vice Chair Russell to hold the motion?
Sure. Board Member Roberts, did you have a motion that you were wanting?
I did. I was going to move that we accept the recommendation for the fine in this case.
Board Member Wu will second that motion.
So just for a point of clarification, are you guys, so with these slightly different from the case manager reports, it would be moving to accept the entire default order.
Default order. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. Default. I move that we accept the default order in case 1591.
I'll second that motion again. Board Member Wu.
Is there any more discussion on this? Or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes.
Okay. Back to Mr. Smith.
Thank you. The next case is 2024-10-2623-00-ARC. This is in the matter of Grace C. Rady. In this case, Rady submitted floor plans to the City of Lynnwood Development and Business Services Division for a daycare. They indicated that Rady was the drafter and designer. Rady does not have a license to practice architecture in Washington State. As such, she was charged with a cease and desist of unlicensed practice of architecture under RCW 18235-150. She was also charged with a violation of 18083101 for practicing architecture without a license, violation of 18235-130-11, misrepresentation in the aspect of conduct of business or profession, and violation of RCW 18235-130-15, engaging in unlicensed practice. The SOC and cease and desist was duly set out, with which warned that failure to reply would result in a default. There was no reply. So this was a default under RCW 3405-4401. Sanctions that are asked for in this default are a $6,000 monetary penalty and issuing of a cease and desist from unlicensed practice under RCW 18235-150. Thank you.
Board Member Roberts?
Yeah, this was my I'm the case manager here, and I just want to add a little bit of detail to this. Grace Reedy was identified as the designer on the drawings. The stamp was a legitimate stolen Washington State stamp for a licensed architect here in Washington State. And so they had taken somebody's stamp and put it on the drawings here. It was the client had, and this is something we're going to increasingly see here, and we heard about it at the NCARB meeting. The client found this design service on the internet through some sort of service, and this entity that they never really met, this Grace Reedy, who we're not sure actually exists, they provided the services, they affixed somebody else's stamp to it, and somehow the city of Lynnwood figured this out. So anyway, this is a thing. It is happening, and I would guess that we are going to see this more and more as we go forward.
Thank you for that clarification. I have one question. Because this person was not licensed, this is a cease and desist, not a removal of a licensure, correct?
Correct.
Do we have a motion to move forward or to approve the default order? That was what it was called, right? Default order?
Yes.
Board Member Brockfogel, I make a motion we approve the default order.
Board Member Wu, second that motion.
Any further discussion or questions? Board Member Harm?
Yeah, Sean, I think it was your case. So we have no, I'm flipping around in the report. So we have no evidence that Grace even exists. So are we currently finding someone who simply may not exist, or can we climb the food chain and go through the company that was associated with Grace Reedy? I'm kind of confused.
Yeah, I think there's a dead end there, and it's kind of the way these things work, right?
Yeah.
There was an address, and the address did appeared to be a home owned by not a Grace Reedy. So it's that kind of situation. And of course, it's through an internet service that doesn't take any responsibility for the people that advertise through their service. So it was that sort of, you know, inability to be able to actually track somebody down.
It's a wholesale business kind of a thing. Yep. Wild. We're going to see this.
Board Member Wu have a question. So how would these legal decisions on fines be assessed if there's no other entity at the other end?
I was going to, this is Elizabeth, I was going to suggest that on another occasion that we have another discussion, generally speaking, about these types of cases that are going to arise more and more, and maybe even have a task force to come up with some strategies. I know it sounds like it's come up at a national meeting, so there's probably information that can help, but we can't discuss that in this, you know, right now. This isn't the top of the place.
board Member Harm, I would fully support what Elizabeth is suggesting, and I know we could seek assistance from the really well-versed individuals at NCARB National, because it is a big topic. Even though we didn't cover it in our report, it is a growing topic, and it would be nice to have a task force if we could just kind of get ahead of this on what we want to do, including the use of third-party identification to verify signatures. I know we can't talk about it, but I think we should probably jump into this because it's going to get worse.
Agreed, and I appreciated that many states are dealing with this. It's not a one or a few states. It's many states across the country. Board Member Roberts?
Yeah, just really quickly, I think in this case, the individual whose license was copied did express a, oh, gosh, what do I do now Obviously, this board can't really do anything to assist in that. But again, understanding more about how this is happening and how we can, assist licensed architects in this kind of situation. It's really unfortunate for the licensed practitioner.
Agreed. Any further discussion? Board Member Breckwogel?
Yeah, so Sean, did the architect that got his or her stamp boosted, did they have any idea how that occurred?
Sorry, struggling with the mute button there. No, they did not know any of the individuals listed on the plan set. They did not know the client. They knew nothing about it.
Wow. I mean, because we have these digital stamps that run around now, it's pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's an observation. I'm happy to be on whatever task force that Scott talked about a minute ago, if that comes up. So.
We will add that to the next agenda item so that you guys can properly discuss it.
Very well, then.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? We already made a motion to vote on this, right? And removed. So a vote to approve the default order. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's all for me today.
Thank you very much, Mr. Smith. Moving into our reports for the committees and task force reports. We have two updates. So the Model Law Committee report, myself and Board Member Roberts to provide a status of this. Do you want to start?
I think we added Peter to our Model Law Committee today.
Very good. Welcome, Peter.
There's no status since there's no update since the last board meeting. I anticipate there will be next time since we are about to engage with AIA Washington Council on this.
Okay. For the outreach update, the outreach subcommittee, I will begin. I'm on this committee with myself, Board Member Wu and Board Member Russell. We have successfully had two meetings with local schools. So Board Member Wu and I presented at Lake Washington Institute of Technology, a really great program with a lot of passionate people, and the professors are very driven to work with us on the alternative paths to licensure. So we presented the process of the board, how the board is comprised, and also the paths that are aligning with our architectural laws in alignment with NCARB. So we did give the background of what processes and things can happen with NCARB. And they're very excited to see how the students could continue their career and feel validated that the work that they're doing is a asset to the industry and our pipeline. Board Member Wu, do you want to add anything about our session?
No, Board Member Wu doesn't have anything else to add to your eloquent answer to that. So, yeah, I agree.
Yes. It was very fun. Board Member Russell, do you want to share the sessions that you performed?
Sure. I presented at Spokane Community College their architectural technology classes. The first and second year students joined. It was voluntary. And there was probably about 40 students attended.
Wow.
The previous presentation were gracious enough to share their slideshow. So I presented the same presentation that was seen at Lake Washington. And it went very well. They're a very excited program. A lot of them feed into the WSU system. Some just go into practice because there's a lot of openings in the Spokane area, and they're a good program. And a lot of there was five students the next day or the day after went to the National AIA Convention, was one of their teachers.
Okay. After those sessions, the outreach committee has not met. We met once to just debrief and kind of plan the rest of the summer, and we'll reconvene as it gets closer to the fall semesters to potentially do outreach at the University of Washington and WSU. And we are kind of ground sourcing what other agencies or institutes would like to have this information. But we are looking forward to more presentations with the group. And we have meetings scheduled later this fall, so we will have another update at the next meeting. Very good. Moving on to our next session, I will next I'll move to staff reports, so I'll pass it over to Sydney to do staff reports.
And we will keep this quick. So we'll start with our complaint status report. We have one case that is currently in intake status, 4 that are under investigation, 5 that are in a legal review. I believe that includes the 2 from today, 8 that are in a management review, including the 5 from today, and 11 that have been closed, for a grand total of 29. Any questions on the complaint status report before I move on? Then we will move on to our licensee count report, which, as a reminder for everyone, this has been provided to the board in the packet. The public can always request copies of it, but we will no longer be providing a verbal report out at these meetings. Our goal is to move these into a more robust annual report that will show much more comprehensive data and those year-over-year changes. So any questions on the licensee count report? Okay, then the next one before I hand it off is the board had requested an item for review of the board authorizations at the last meeting. Completely coincidentally, I also had our compliance team reach out to me right around the exact same time and said, hey, now that we've had those existing authorizations for a couple of years and we've kind of flushed out some internal processes, we'd like to take a look at them. Each of our regulatory boards has some slightly different authorizations. And so just to get everything as closely aligned as we can for staff who are working in all of these programs, you know, we'd like to have a discussion about, you know, what that looks like. So we're working with them and the AG's office on the potential changes that they're requesting, and then we will bring that to the board for the board's input once we have flushed out exactly what they're looking for. So I included this item for today's agenda because I didn't want the board to feel as though we just ignored the request, but wanted to provide that report out that they are under review with staff, and we'll be bringing those to all of you with recommendations, as well as the explanations for each of the recommendations and what that means behind the scenes with what staff does on behalf of the board. So are there any questions on that?
Board Member Evers? You're still muted.
Sorry, just a clarification, Sydney. So the board will be presented with a proposal from staff for updated board authorizations at some point in the future. Is that what I'm hearing?
Correct. I'm okay. Hoping this fall, but please bear with me because we're going to be shorthanded this fall. It might be early 2026 before I can get them in front of you guys, but we will be presenting those to you in the not too distant future.
Okay, great. Thanks. And I think for the newer board members, as you go to the national organization meetings, you'll notice that all the boards operate a little bit differently and clearly have different authorizations to the agency that they're under, and they operate either more independently or more dependently. So it's just interesting to kind of understand where we are and where we want to be as a state and what staff is actually doing for us too, which is always illuminating. Look forward to seeing that, Sydney.
All right, then I think we're ready to turn it over to Alyssa.
Hey,
If you are talking, you are muted.
My computer is just a little bit slow. I'm here. So, from the meeting, in July of 2024, we had coordinate with AIA for outreach opportunities and to monitor legislative updates. So that is ongoing. We're continuing to do that. January 30th of 2025, we had said that staff will monitor demographic trends annually, and that is ongoing. From October 24th of 2024, the outreach committee will coordinate Lake Washington dates and travel. That is now complete. From April 24th, 2025, we put down to move case 2024-030483-00ARC to the next meeting, and that is now complete. From that same meeting, we have scheduled training for the chair and vice chair, and we have completed that. And we have also scheduled chair and vice chair check-ins. And then Sydney will send NCARB annual business meeting information to the board. That is also now complete. And then we also had work with Chair Loyne and Board Member Rockvogel on NCARB travel. That is also complete. And then for the Model Law Committee with Board Member Roberts and Chair Loyne, that is in progress. And I do have it down that we will be adding Secretary Rockvogel to that committee. Then we have counseling on RCWs related to performance of architects. That is now complete. Grace Hamilton will work with Board Member Brockvogel on a case that he had questioned during the April meeting. And it's listed as in progress, but I'm going to assume that we now have that complete. And then the next one is staff will provide a budget update. That is still in progress. Chair Lloyd will contact ACE for a potential presentation. I believe that's still in progress. Is that still the case?
That will be the case. The point that was happening there is there was a celebration of the graduation for the ACE students right around that time of the April date. So I did attend the ACE graduation, but I could not find the right person. It was more of a celebration and got caught in the events that were going on. So I do think that it is viable to go and still contact with them. To have a presentation in their next session. They will be starting with their students in, I believe, January or February is when they start their new program. So this fall, I will keep that on my list of things for myself to do to have that meeting with them.
Okay, I'll notate.
I was
just going to say I can notate that for Sydney as well, so that when you meet for your outreach meeting, that's something that you can all follow up on.
That'd be great.
Was there something else? Was that you, Vice Chair Russell?
No, that was me, Board Member Roberts. I was just going to quickly say they have a really good, pretty extensive introductory session to all of, and that might be a good opportunity. Yeah. There are presentations and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I will reach out to, or we'll put it on the outreach committee and make sure that we reach out to them. But it was a great presentation. They had great students this year and a lot of excitement at that event, and gave away a lot of scholarships, which was very exciting to see.
Okay, and I'm just taking note real quick so that I can add this to the action items.
Great.
Okay, then we have to review board delegations, and I believe that's actually what we just went over, so we can now mark that as complete. You'll see that as complete when we go over our action item list at the next meeting. And that is all for me, so back to you, Chair.
Very good. All right, we will go into public comments. So the public may address the board on matters within the board's jurisdiction, either verbally during the meeting or by submitting written comments in advance. Verbal comments are limited to 1 3-minute comment. Written comments are limited to no more than 500 words and must be emailed to board staff no less than 2 business days prior to the meeting. In response to all public comments, the board is limited to requesting that the matter be added to a future agenda for discussion or directing staff to study the matter further. Inflammatory comments and language shall not be permitted. Sydney, have any comments been submitted in writing?
No, ma'am.
Very good. Is there any member of the public on the call that would like to address the board? Going one time? Last call? Very good. Thank you very much for those that did attend. And the floor is now closed. So in conclusion, are there any announcements that anyone would like to share from the board? Or are there any additional reports that they would like to make at this time? Okay. Are there any additional future agenda items that we may not yet have discussed that any board member would like to request at the next meeting? We're so worried we were going to finish late and we're going to finish early. What's going on? And then action items. So, Alyssa, would you please review the action items from today's meeting?
So we will be moving item 7.6 to the next board meeting. And that was the case. That was one of your cases, yes. Chair Loin. And then... let's see. I'm not sure. I don't think I had anything else. I feel like there was something when we looked at the master action item list that we said we were going to go over at the next meeting. But if there's anything new for agenda items.
Was there a discussion on some, I'll call it a task force regarding the pirating of stamps and all that? We had somebody volunteer to be on a commission. Is there any action item in any of that, maybe, Alyssa?
Yep. We're going to be adding an item to discuss the professional services offered through those online service websites to the next meeting to kind of figure out where the board wants to go with that, but because we didn't discuss it at this meeting. Mm-hmm. So that'll be one. We'll be scheduling time for the model law committee, now including board member Brock Vogel, with AIA and Tammy to discuss upcoming legislation. We'll be sharing out the links for the RCWs and the WACs that we discussed earlier on pertaining to the performance of architects. I'll be sending those out this afternoon. And I think that was all that I captured, but it looks like Board Member Wu has something he'd like to add.
Yes, Board Member Wu wants to be included in this task force that you just discussed.
Okay. I don't think we can establish the task force at this meeting because it wasn't on the agenda, but we will talk about establishing that at our next meeting.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. All right, with no further action items or comments, I believe this meeting... Oh,
wait, I thought we were covering just agenda items. I do have another action item. So we're going to ask that Grace add the date to case number 2024-03-0483-00ARC for board member Harm. So that was one that I needed to capture. And I believe also just the follow-up for the ACE presentation with that outreach committee. I'm sorry, I thought we were only covering the future agenda items. So...
Okay, so that's all the action items that you have?
Right? Yes.
I hesitated today that I think you, Board Member Brock Vogel?
Hi, yeah. Grace, the case that I'm on, is that going to be brought up in the next board meeting? In the next board packet?
The one that we discussed about?
Yeah.
I see that we discussed it. I don't see that it's ready to go for the next meeting. So if you want to, we can discuss that after or like offline.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. With no further comments or action items for the next meeting, I would say the time is 11:39 a.m. and this meeting is adjourned.
Bye.
Thank you.
Have a good summer.